Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 417, entitled The Nice Show, with Mark Westgard, episode 2, More Niceness. It was published on Thursday the 10th of April, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined by the very nice Mark Westgard in a few moments' time. But before that, a few bits of housekeeping. If you like what we do at WP Builds, please head over to our homepage, wpbuilds.com, explore the menu at the top, and perhaps fill out the little form, which you can find really near the top of the homepage. There's one field, and it's for an email address. Fill that out, and we will keep you in touch of the bits and pieces that we create. It's normally two bits of content, a podcast, which comes out on a Thursday. That's what you're listening to now. But also, we do a This Week in WordPress show, which we do live on a Monday, and then we republish that as a podcast episode on a Tuesday, so you'll get notifications for both of those things. Speaking of This Week in WordPress, if you fancy joining us, 2 p.m. UK time, head to wpbuilds.com/live. We love it when people come there and make comments. It really makes the show work beautifully. Once more, wpbuilds.com/live, 2 p.m. UK time every Monday, for the This Week in WordPress show. Okay, another thing to mention is the Page Builder Summit. It is coming around. It's happening in a few weeks' time. It's happening from the 12th to the 16th of May, 2025. It's an online-only event, but it really has been a great success. This is version 8 of the event, can you believe it? And we feature a load of speakers in the WordPress space, some of them doing design work, some of them building in page builders, Gutenberg, a whole range of different page builders, some of them doing all sorts of other things, encouraging you to find new ways to run your business. There's loads of different content in there. And if you go to thepagebuildersummit.com, you can put your name into the email list there, and we will keep you in touch as we progress with the summit. It's shaping up nicely. I think we've got about 35 speakers. They're listed on the homepage there, so you can see who's taking part this time around. If you would like to become a sponsor for that event, head to pagebuildersummit.com/sponsors, and you can see some options there. There are three options. Two of them are featured in a pricing table, and they're fairly obvious. We've got our partner and our patron sponsor levels. But also, if you go to the bottom of that, there's a micro sponsor level, and this might be really interesting for companies out there who don't have deep pockets but would still like some exposure. It's $300 to be featured on that event. So pagebuildersummit.com/sponsors. If you're interested in that micro level, scroll to the bottom and find the link there. Okay, the last thing to mention is that if you like what we're doing here, wpbuilds.com, head to our advertise page, wpbuilds.com/advertise, to find out how you can get your product or service in front of a WordPress-specific audience, a bit like these three fine companies did. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more. go.me/WPBuilds. This week, we're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. Keeping the lights on over at WP Builds for another week is Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and Omnisend for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Podcasts like this cannot continue without the support of fine companies like that. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, as I said, it's The Nice Show, episode 2. I'm calling this More Niceness. A few months ago, Mark Westgaard joined me for the first show. It's a new idea. And basically, here's the premise. The world is tough. There's a lot going on. You may be fed up of politics. You may be fed up with your work. You may be fed up with the weather. You may be fed up with all the things going on in your life. But somewhere out there in a corner of the internet, something nice is happening. And Mark and I try to explore some of the bits and pieces that we have discovered in the recent past and try and just bring a little light into your day. So not a lot of WordPress in here. That's not true. There's a fair amount of WordPress, especially towards the beginning, but we do stray off into all sorts of different directions. I hope you'll excuse this. I just think it's a nice idea to try and paint some positivity into all of our lives. So here it comes with the very nice Mark Westgaard, and I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Mr. Mark Westgaard. Hello.
Hello.
It's already.
We're back again.
We're giggling. Mark and I, a few months ago, started a series of podcast episodes called The Nice Show. Basically, there's too much silliness going on in the world, and this is a rebuttal to that. We're scouring the internet, looking for things over the last 3 months that have entertained us, made us feel that the world is not quite as bad as it may otherwise seem. So very little of this is to do with WordPress, but who cares? Stay with us, because it'll be fun and it'll be nice.
It will be nice. Yeah. Nothing but nice things.
No. So last time we started with a series of sort of subheadings, if you like. So everything that we're going to cover hopefully will be nice. That's a given. But we start with nice people. That's how we started it last time. So do you want to kick us off? You've got a person that you like and think is nice.
Yeah. Well, one of many people I think is nice is Derek Ashour. And he runs a company called Sunshine. And has a few plugins. His latest one is Conversion Bridge. But what a nice guy! I met him WordCamp US in Washington, I think it was, a few years ago, at an event, and we've stayed in touch ever since. And we were in a mastermind group together, and just a thoroughly bloody nice bloke.
Derek. I'm going to say the word nice so many times. What is a mastermind group? What the heck do you get up to in there? Do you just sort of sit around and figure out how to conquer the world and stroke cats? And
we basically just tell each other our woes and try and cheer each other up, basically.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's quite nice.
No, it's good. There's a lot of experience in those mastermind groups. And we're going to talk about some of the community things that we're doing that are similar to that, but it's kind of... In a Slack channel, we ask each other questions and try to come up with solutions.
That is nice. It's more niceness. I've met Derek, but not. I don't know if I've met Derek in the real world, but I've definitely done a couple of podcast episodes with him, and I share your opinion. Nice chap. Now it's my turn. Yeah, my nice person this time around is Miriam Schwab. I've met Miriam loads of times. She currently works for Elementor, but I met her first time at WordCamp. I want to say WordCamp Europe in Berlin. I think it was 2019. Yeah. First met her there. Wow. Very briefly, actually. Yeah. And then I've met her many, many times since then. But usually it's quite fleeting. You know, we sit down and we have a couple of minutes. But I was at CloudFest the other week and we sat down probably for more like 40 minutes. There was just me and her having a real chat. And we ended up really getting into the weeds of like our families and the state of life, where we live and all of that kind of thing. And I just got a real insight into... Yeah, just a really nice person, basically.
Well, Miriam's one of those people that when you meet her, it may be fleeting, but always memorable. She's always got something nice to say. She's got a great personality and always enjoy. I always feel like I want to spend more time with Miriam.
She always comes across, I think, as incredibly bright. And I don't know what the metric for measuring that is, but you know when you meet somebody and you just think there's a lot of brain power behind that person.
There is a genuine brain power.
Yeah, Miriam, well, that's for sure. That's what I get when I speak to Miriam. Yeah. Everything that she says, you meet some people and, you know, they stumble over their words and they have to rethink things. She just doesn't exhibit any of that. She just seems to know what she's going to say. Maybe she's clairvoyant. She's already figured out all the conversations that she's going to say. Yeah. Anyway, there you go, yeah. Miriam. There you go.
I think you're very nice people.
I think you're nice. And the next thing is nice code. And I've really not got any nice code, but I've got a plug-in suggestion for you all. And the URL I'm going to mention is codeblockpro.com. And each of those words is separated by a hyphen. So it's code-block-pro.com. And if you go there, this came to me the other day from Dan Maybe, who's also another nice person. And he was looking for a plugin that would enable him to put code on his website so that people could read code snippets. But obviously, if you just copy and paste code onto a website, it doesn't have all of the you know, the highlighting and the colors and the correct spacing and tabbing and all of that kind of stuff. So this is a plugin which does that. And if you look at that website, you'll see that essentially it covers, gosh, I mean, honestly, what is that? That's probably about 150 different languages. Most of them I've never heard of. One called Lua, one called Prisma, one called Puppet, TCL, Turtle, Stutter, and I could go on. There's absolutely loads of them. And
I've never heard of any of those.
No, exactly. I think he's making it up, frankly. I think most of them are just things that he just
started just
tapping on the keyboard like that. And we'll go with that. But you can display all of those and the pro version. Now, this is why I think this is really nice. He really went in aggressive with the pricing. You know, he's very clearly a horrible human being that wants to gouge everybody, because you can buy this lifetime for $12. You get all the languages for $12. That's early lifetime pricing. It says early user lifetime pricing, $12. So if that, you know, tickles your fancy, you can go and have
a
look.
What's a nice
price. Yeah, you too can be showing your Bash scripts in the Andromeda theme if you want. And
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, there you go. That's the nice thing. Yeah. That's the sort of Kodi nice thing. I don't know if you've got nothing on the Kodi nice thing this time around.
No, I don't know anything about code, so.
No, I've noticed you've got... plugin doesn't work.
No, that's right.
We should have said, we didn't mention your plugin. Mark comes from WS Form. If you're into getting submissions on your WordPress website, or indeed comments, because he does that now. Some idiot asked him to build a comment in sort of.
We should have mentioned that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should have mentioned that. But wsform.com, go check it out. Mark's an extremely well thought through plugin with brand new styler. So that
very
you can
nice style,
all the things.
Which we went through last time, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Okay, let's go on to the next thing. This is community. I don't think we'll ever run out of things to say. You've got two, I've got two. WordPressy community, these things are.
Yeah, I'll kick off, shall I, with the WP World from Marcus Burnett. It's the WP.world is the domain name. And if you're not a part of that, you should go there and sign up and join the presses directory that he has on there. It's really cool, actually. So you can basically make yourself known as a WordPresser by registering on that website. And you can mark on there which WordPress event you've been to, which is cool. And they have a WordPress... It's a really great source of WordPress events. So if you're looking for WordPress events to go to or take part in, then there's actually a full directory on there, and it shows you which presses are going to those events, which is cool. There's also a business directory on there as well. So if you're looking for a particular service, I know he does quite a lot of hosting companies, I think. There's a
and jobs
on
as well,
that.
I think. There's a whole like slew of jobs on there all the time, which at this time of the year, well, this particular year in particular, how many in particulars can I ram into one sentence? then that's really, and there's loads. I don't know how he gets that information. Either people send it to him or he goes out and scours for it.
He spends a lot of time building that site and improving it all the time. So the WP World, check it out. It's cool.
WP World. And shall I do one and then you can do the other one?
It.
So in a blatant bid to self-promote, I'm gonna say something which I think is nice. And I'm involved. And so that is, you know, just a horrible misuse of this platform. But nevertheless, here we go. It's the Page Builder Summit. It's an event which I run with Anshin LaRue. Mm-hmm. I have done since, I want to say 2020, maybe, right at the beginning of COVID. I think we did the first one by pure coincidence. Yep. And we're on version 8. And wow. We're running it in May this year. And it's just turned out to be a really, honestly, a nice collection of people. So it started off basically all about page builders. And the idea would be that you would literally come and learn stuff about your page builder. But it's kind of spread out into kind of marketing, SEO, design, those kind of things. And we get experts to come along and give us their 40-minute presentation and what have you. And so that's happening in May, pagebuildersummit.com, if you want to go. And then there's the bit that's nice about it, I think, is there's a Facebook group which goes with it. So that kind of runs alongside. And we do little things like bingo and quizzes and things like that. Yeah. And I've made quite a lot of friends from that event that I probably would never have known otherwise.
Yeah. And you can sponsor it too. So
and nice. Thanks, Mark. If you want. And you can sponsor. That's right. /sponsors. if you want to sponsor that. But you've got another one. You've got another event. Oh, you're going to this, aren't you, in a few weeks?
Yeah, PressCon in Tempe in April. So, 23rd to the 26th.
I'm hoping we'll get this out before then.
Looking forward to it. Their description for their event is PressConf is for engineers, entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and leaders of modern WordPress to level up, which I like. And looking at the attendee list, if you're going or if you're thinking about going, and you should go, I definitely think there'll be ways of leveling up. There's a really great and fun bunch of people going to that. Nice people going to that.
Nice people. Yeah.
Really nice.
That's the important thing. There's a load of people going. I remember I was in Taiwan for WordCamp Asia and I went on a walk, which turned out to be more of a forced march and quite a hilly experience too. Many people had fear of death on that walk. And Raquel, who is organizing that event, she was on that walk and she was talking about how she was trying to think about, at that point, reviving what was called Pressnomics, which was an event that I never went to. And if I'm correct, I think PressConf is exactly that. It's trying to revive the spirit and the nature of Pressnomics. Yes. And so it's because it's outside of the sort of chapter program for WordPress, they're not constrained by the usual bits and pieces that a WordCamp would be. Yeah. So I think business is definitely on the agenda.
Miriam Schwab is one of the speakers, actually, that we just spoke about.
That's nice, you see.
Yeah. Tammy Lister, Amber Hines, Mark Zemanski is there as well, Kevin Geary. So it's a one track. So you just basically sit down and enjoy, and there's some nice evening events as well and welcome events. So, and then they've got a VIP day at the end where I think they're doing golf and go-karting as two separate
events. At the same time, can you do both? From the side of a go-kart.
From the cart, yes.
Leaning out and smashing the golf ball. It'd be a bit like, what's that sport they do on horse? Oh, polo, that's it.
Polo, yeah.
Yeah, a bit like that in golf carts. Okay, so that's PressConf.
PressConf, yeah.
And I think that's PressConf.events, if memory serves correctly. That's the URL
correct,
for that one.
Yeah, PressConf.events.
There we go. We'll put that into the show notes. Okay, my second one then, my second event is WP Accessibility Day. Accessibility Day does what it says on the tin. It enables people to get together and talk about all things accessibility in the WordPress space. I actually know that there's an event coming up not particularly soon, but not particularly far away either. But I can't summon up the dates, and I'm incapable of typing in URLs while I'm speaking. So there you go. I'm going to get Mark to do it. Look, Mark just jumped into action. That's brilliant. But I really, really appreciate the amount of time that people put into these events, especially for things like this. This is very different. You know, there's no sort of profit motive here. It's just about making life better for all the people out there. And go and check it out, wpaccessibility.day, I think is the URL.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. So that's the fourth one. So there we go, WP World, Page Builder Summit, PressConf, and WP Accessibility Day. All right.
There you go.
Next thing was nice internet-y thing. So anything internet-y, and you've written something now that I've heard of, but I don't even know what these things do. It's AI, of course.
You know, I haven't had a chance to play around with a lot of these AI tools very much. I use like Claude AI and ChatGPT and stuff like that for things. But Jamie Marsland, who has a fantastic YouTube channel, you should check that out as well. Another nice person.
Nice.
Was recently playing around with these tools, and I just, you know, happened to take a look at one of them. He was using a product called Lovable, L-O-V-A-B-L-E. And I tried it, and I just went in there, and I just typed in redesign the WS Form website, because it does need a redesign. But I just played with it, and I was absolutely astounded by the output from this software.
Really?
Not only designed it, but it actually wrote code as well. It wouldn't be code that I use, because it's not a language I'm very familiar with. But the code was very, very clean. The design was pretty good. And it made me think, oh, my goodness, I'm glad I'm not building websites 24/7 anymore, because this is kind of scary.
And is it sort of specifically for building like web properties? So rather than ChatGPT, which is kind of trying to do everything, is this trying to build front end interfaces and things like that as well?
Yeah, I can confess I didn't go into it too much, but okay. It read my entire website. It built an about us page. It built a testimonials page. It built a pricing page. It built a home page. And then the only thing it didn't quite get right was the logo. So I uploaded my logo to it, and I said, make sure this is the logo you use on the website. And it resized it, recolored it, and put it on every page on this site. And I was like, wow. And this is early days, really, isn't it? And
how does it do it? I don't even understand. That's the bit which puzzles me and actually terrifies me in equal measure.
Terrifying.
I'm massively impressed, but I'm also totally aghast by the way that we're sort of potentially walking blindfolded into the complete destruction of our entire industry. You know, I mean, it's all right if you're a chef or a bricklayer or something like that.
Yeah.
Presumably, they're going to be safe. But the sort of, you know, that the work which is done inside of our heads, coding and things like that, I imagine, boy.
But you know, it was impressive, I'll say that. And I didn't look into the code behind it too much to see if it was secure or whatever or accessible, but on the face of it, the output of it was quite remarkable. We certainly didn't have that 10 years ago, so.
Yeah. It sounds lovable.
I'm interested to see where it goes.
Lovable. The one thing I will say is, quite interestingly, that video that you saw with Jamie Marsland, I also watched it. And then I got in touch with Joe Dolson. I don't know if you know Joe. Joe is the person who, he's one of the leads for the WP Accessibility project. Yeah. And also he's one of the leads of the WP Accessibility Day.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I sat down and we with Jamie's permission, he went through what Lovable had done from an accessibility point of view. Yeah. And you can imagine, you know, it can't get everything right. And curiously, I'll link to that video in the show notes. It's on the WP Builds website. If you go and search around in the archives, you'll see the gloriously titled Accessibility Show. if you go to those, you'll see there's one, I think it's episode 5 or 6 with Joe about this. It made the same mistakes that humans make, which is kind of interesting, because the corpus of information it's sucking up is presumably what humans
from
do.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't breaking things in surprising new ways. It was breaking things in predictable ways. And so it tried. It did a fairly good job in some respects. You know, it put certain things in, but then it didn't get everything quite right. So anyway, there we go.
Interesting.
Lovable. My nice internet-y thing is anything online, which means that I don't have to remember stuff. because I ever honest, this is such a bad admission, ever since I was quite small, I think I realized that my memory was shockingly bad from about 16. I remember a really dear friend of mine at school at that kind of age coming up to me and speaking to me about something, and then I replied, and she went, "You have no memory about what we spoke about yesterday, have you?" Because she was just reeling off all this stuff, and I was just nodding, and I said, "No, none at all." And she went, "That's awful. We spoke for ages about this." And I realized that I have this really big gaping hole for certain things. You want me to tell you about the Battle of Ain Jalut? I can do that until till the end of the day. I can tell you all about the Mongols. I can tell you tons of useless information.
I don't tell you this, but I've had the same conversation with you many times.
Who are you, Ethan? I don't even understand why I'm here.
I had to reintroduce myself at the beginning of this call.
I don't even know. But so what I've tended to do is I found ways throughout my adult life to offset that problem. And it was list making with bits of paper, which were always like on my person. And now it's the useful app. So that might be Notion or whatever. But the one that I've settled on, which is going to make everybody cringe, is Evernote.
But it does the job, right?
It really does the job. It's not, there's none of this sort of super clever Obsidian connect all the nodes and, make this spider diagram that you'll never look at ever again. For me, I just want to write something down, tag it, stick a date in it so that it'll remind me about it. And you're done. And Evernote.
See, I'm more primitive than that. I am steering. Bits of paper.
Mark's holding up bits of paper. Okay, Mark, I'm gonna beat you. I don't just have one bit of paper. I have the entire pad of paper at my disposal.
Do they still sell pads of paper?
Yeah, this is an A4. Just there. Because I know how much paper I go through, I have an entire box. It's like I've got like 4,000 sheets of paper down there or something. and that was probably because one day I forgot to buy paper. And so I decided, buy all the paper so that you don't...
Pen and paper is still a great way of remembering things.
Oh, it's the best way of doing it. It really is. And to me, there is definitely a connection between the motion of my fingers and the capacity to remember. If I write it down and I go through the process of, committing it and thinking about writing it, then I remember it. And this is weird as well. I find if I write it neatly and ponder about it, then it goes in even further.
Goes in more.
Yeah. So typing it is, I don't remember anything by typing it in, but the beauty of typing it in is that it remembers itself for me.
See, I try putting stuff in my calendar, for example, and it'll pop up on my phone and I'll just hit stop.
Yeah, ignore.
And then I forget that it's popped up.
Yeah, you need a whole system of importance, don't you? It's like, how do you...
If I've got the paper in front of me, it's there.
How do you do that when you get calendar invites and things like... They're not calendar invites, but you put things in your own calendar. How do you know what's important? I've gone to this is what I've ended up doing. I write important in capital letters before the title, so it says important. But then even that started to use utility. So I then added asterisks before the word important. And the number of asterisks is indicative of that. So if it's got 5 asterisks followed by the word important, then I know it's like, as soon as my eyes catch sight of that, it's like, you have to actually read it.
You see nothing but asterisks.
It's asterisks all the way down.
Something I've got to do.
Anyway, there you go. So that's my one internet-y thing. The other internet-y thing, which is brand new, is something called skylight.social. So if you like, I'm gonna talk like the Utes. If you like the TikToks, Mark, I'm going to sound like an old man. If you like the TikTok, then this is a more federated approach. So TikTok, obviously, everybody has used that except me. I literally never have, but I know it's enormously popular. But there's people who have concerns about that, the data storage. Mm-hmm. And obviously it may well, if you're a US citizen, it may at some point in the near future just disappear. So Skylight.social is the enterprise of, I believe, one lady. And she's built it on top of the AT protocol, which is what runs Blue Sky. So literally is sitting on top of what hopefully in the future will be a decentralized, but is already a federated protocol. Yep. And it's totally free. I don't know how that ad-free model will work, but there's no algorithm to gain your attention. I don't know if it just comes in chronologically or what, but... the lady who's running it seems to have all the right incentives. You watch the videos and she just seems like a wonderful person. Well, a nice person, basically.
A nice person.
I'll have
to take a look at that.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. That's the nice internet-y things. Now, nice real-world things. So step away from the computer, Mark. What do you like to do in the real world? Yeah.
Well, I don't do this as often as I should, but I just love getting outside into the countryside. Oh. I don't know about you, Nathan, but...
Yeah.
It's we spend way too much time on our computers and our electrical devices. And when I thought about this one, it reminded me of a story that I have with you. And we were at WordCamp Europe in Turin, or Torino, as they called it. And we had gone to an event hosted by Groundhog.
Adrian. So nice.
And he very kindly took us to a vineyard, and we got to learn about wine, and there were some rather strange-looking toys there, which we took photos of.
Oh, gosh, I have all the photos. Oh, it was, gosh, that was so bizarre, wasn't it?
Imagine and yeah, scary a little bit hard dolls to with missing heads really, and bodies. But, yeah, the gentleman that owned the vineyard collected old toys, and there was a room full of them, and some of them were a little bit worse for wear, and there were some dolls with eyes looking
at funny
toys.
Anyway, let me write that down on my Evernote pad.
Yeah, we'll put that here. But anyway, after that very delightful event, we had to get to an event for Bob Dunn. And he was hosting an event with another couple of chaps about a new show, wasn't it, Nathan?
Yeah, they were doing. Bob was launching a new show with a couple of people from Codable,
that's right.
Marcel and somebody else.
Yeah,
I can't remember, but yeah. You see, there's so my memory.
So we had to get to this event at a castle,
yeah.
And we left the vineyard thinking, oh, we'll just get an Uber, and then realised there was no cell phone signal at all.
There's no
Ubers. We were several miles away from this castle, and we decided to walk through the countryside to get there. And what a walk it was.
It was
absolutely beautiful. When we were walking through the vineyards in Italy, you, me, and my friend Jeff, just three lads having a nice stroll. And it was beautiful. And that moment reminded me I needed to get out more.
Yeah. Honestly, that was such a nice thing. I mean, I am slightly traumatized by the dolls that were in that place, the groundhog place. But first of all, that was a nice event. But that walk was so profoundly beautiful. It was a lovely hot day. We were in the Italian countryside. We kind of had tons of time to waste. We were just shooting the breeze.
Bantering.
And I believe I completely got a change of clothes didn't I, as well, at some point. Yeah.
Halfway along, you just went,
you've got to look the part, Mark. You're going to go for a walk in the Italian countryside.
You had to get your rambling gear on.
Yeah, I am a big proponent of this. I am very lucky in that outside of that window is the Northern York Moors National Park. And so I'm able to walk in stunningly beautiful scenery within 10 seconds of leaving my front door. And I do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And last year I got myself an exercise bike. I got myself an electric bike.
Yeah.
And I've been making use of that. So, brilliant. Get out in the countryside more. That's the that's the key.
Turn this off and get outside.
Yeah, right. See you later, mate. I'll we'll finish this another week. No, my turn. This is a bit sad. My thing, and it won't be the same. If you ask me this in a week's time, it won't be this. But right now, my real world thing, which is really nice, is wait for it, daylight saving. So daylight saving. Yeah. I don't think you have this in all parts of the world, but daylight saving is this thing where twice a year the clocks move forward. It's always on a Sunday. Basically, they try to align it with midnight so everybody's asleep. And the clocks either move forward or backwards by 1 hour. So if they move forwards, it would go from 1 a.m. I think they do it at 1 a.m. So it goes from 1 to 2.
That's
and that
right,
whole
yeah,
hour is missed out. And if they do it the other way, it goes from 1 to midnight.
Midnight.
No. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, the point is, if it goes in the winter time, it goes in the depressing direction and it goes more bleak in the UK.
Yeah.
So you get more darkness at the time of day.
But don't you get an extra hour of sleep if you're waking up at a certain time?
You get an extra hour of sleep. So that's just a one-time thing. And then you've got this misery every day of basic darkness.
Then
in the summer, just now, just a couple of weeks ago, it's gone in the other direction. And so you get up in the morning and it just feels great. But also the evenings stretch right out. That's the big thing. The evenings suddenly go from getting dark to really light in the evenings. And if you're a North American, you probably haven't realized this. The UK is really far north. If you were to get the UK and drag it across, it would be like in the middle of Canada. Mm-hmm. And I mean the middle of Canada from the bottom to the top, so from north to south. You know, it's really far north, but we have the Gulf Stream, so we don't get freezing cold.
Yeah.
But that does mean that in the winter here, we get, I don't know, very little daylight. Maybe by 3 in the evening, in the afternoon, it's getting dark, and by 3:30 it is dark. And then the sun won't come up until 8 in the morning, so you maybe get 5-6 something hours. But then in the summer, it's light at 11 at night, and it gets light at like 4 in the morning or something. So
yeah, I used to live in Scotland many years ago.
And
I would barely see the sun. It would just pop up over the sea, and then by 3-4 o'clock, it's gone.
And then in the summer, you can't get away from it. It's just all day, every day, right?
All day. It's just light the whole time. It's interesting when you fly, because I'm flying my family back over to see family in, I think, July. But when we go over, the jet lag is real, and it's not so much the time; it's just the sun is up for a very long time.
Yeah,
and we're a lot further south than that now. But
yeah, if you live like really near the equator, like I spent some time near the equator, what's curious there is like they don't get winter for a start. You know, they get
hot
and dry. Yeah. They don't do the seasonal thing; they just get hot and dry. Yeah. Wet, dry, or, you know, that kind of variant. Yeah. But their days are more or less 12 hours, 6 o'clock till 6 o'clock every day, which is kind of interesting. So there we go, daylight saving. That was
a nice thing.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you, the next one was, I find a short video, basically, something that tickled your fancy, made you feel that the world was nice. I don't know if this makes me feel like the world was nice. In some ways, it makes me feel the world is a horrid place, because this can happen. I'm going to put the link in the show notes.
It is hilarious.
It's about 9 seconds long, this video, so it's really not going to gouge out the rest of your day. I am not responsible for the next 9 hours that you spend on TikTok, though. I'm just giving you the first 9 seconds. The rest is up to you. But it's just a courtyard filmed on somebody's mobile phone. And a lady walks into view, and suddenly an enormous, like, massive tank, like not the tank that you drive around in battle. I mean, like a huge sort of tank that you might fill up with water.
Water tank or something. Yeah.
But it's massive. It's about 6 feet wide and about, I don't know, 10 feet tall. It just falls out the sky on top of her, which sounds hysterical. And also like, you know, she's dead, of course. No. As luck would have it, this tank has no bottom attached to it, and it falls directly on top of her. And then there it is. And then she just pokes her head out the top as if to say, that was, you know, that's what you expect on a Wednesday. You know,
it's like an old 1930s black and white movie, isn't it? Yeah. Where the house falls on top of them.
Yeah. And the window perfectly aligns with the person standing there. Yeah, it's your typical Wednesday afternoon tank falling thing that we've all been through at various times. Anyway, watch it. And just this bloke kind of comes out the woodwork and just sort of stares. And instead of asking her how she is, he just looks up at the sky as if to say, where did that? And honestly, that's what I want to know. Out of this video, that is my lasting question, is where did it come from? I was thinking, did it fall out of a plane or something? I don't even know. Anyway, she was completely fine, apparently. So there we go. That was the nice video. Watch it and enjoy, but prepare to be freaked out at the same time. Okay, we're on to the last little section. Nice news, and you've got a piece of nice. Well, this is so heartwarming. This is lovely.
Yeah, this story is about a boy. Well, I guess he's a young man who came to the UK, and he wanted to go on a boat trip, and so I believe it was on the Thames. Was it?
It was on the Thames. Yeah.
Yeah, so he went to the Thames, wanted to go on a boat trip. I'm presuming he already booked the trip, and he got onto a boat.
Like, yeah.
And so off this boat goes with a lot of merry people, and then he suddenly realises he's on the wrong boat trip with a bunch of Southend supporters going to watch a football.
So he's anticipating getting on, like, the tourist boat. So in London, there's these tourist boats, and they moor up, you know, 2 minutes on the dock, and then they're off, and they just shoot around, and you can hop on and hop off. He was kind of assuming he was getting on one of those, but in fact, he'd got on a private charter boat full of football fans whose intention was to get as drunk as possible, and then go and watch the football game. Now, that in certain quarters would be some people's idea of an absolute nightmare. Yeah. But it sounds like he just said to himself, well, I'm here.
He embraced it. Yeah. And the guys on the boat absolutely loved him. He's now a Southend fan, and he plans on going to the next Southend match.
It's brilliant, though. So it's in the afternoon, I'm guessing, something like that, and they're all dancing because they've had a few beers. And you know, somebody got wind that this unfortunate thing had happened to him, but they can't just sort of not dock and put him off the boat. So somebody went to find out if he was all right, because he's not old. You know, he's still, like you said, he's kind of on the borderline of being an adult and a child. I think he was just 18 or something.
Yeah.
And so somebody went to see how he was, and he was there having a right old dance on the dance floor mid-afternoon, just getting stuck in. And I thought,
I wonder how long it took him to realise.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, maybe he thought this is what you do if you're commuting. You just have a few beers, get on the dance floor, wait till you arrive, and then off you go. You just carry on with your normal life.
What a fun story.
What a fun story. I love it. And then I've got my last one is, I don't know whether this is good or bad. I'm not sure. I like it, though. I think it's quite an interesting and nice idea. So obviously, over the history of the planet, many forms of life have come into existence and then become extinct. And there's this company called Colossal, which is such a sort of, I don't know, very masculine kind of name. They're called Colossal something or other, but they've made it their mission to bring back the woolly mammoth. By the year 2030, something like that, and they are on track to do it. And one of the metrics of being on track is to have this list of animals building up to the woolly mammoth that they can prove our technology, our gene editing, splicing, I don't know what the word is, that they can do this. And so they have bought back something called the dire wolf, which is quite cute, but also I imagine if it was, you know, me trapped in a small telephone booth with a dire wolf,
probably
I don't think
I'd last very long.
No, I don't like the chances of getting out of that. But it looked quite cute when it was small. But they've managed to bring back three dire wolves, and I can't remember the date, but I think they went extinct about 10,000 years ago or something like that. Oh. So it's, you know, it wasn't like last Wednesday somebody accidentally, you know, pushed the last direwolf off a cliff or something. This thing's been gone for a while. But then, so there's that. There's the ethical questions about, is that a good idea? Blah, blah, blah. But then the BBC had an article, and I'll link to both. There's one on CNN about the story about them doing it. And then there's one on the BBC about them, about whether or not this is even legitimate, because we can't get the DNA for the direwolf. So this Colossal company are just kind of manufacturing, kind of fitting in the gaps and taking DNA from other creatures and putting
with
it
frog
in.
DNA.
Yeah, a bit of frog DNA, that's right. bit of velociraptor thrown in for good measure. What can possibly go wrong? They're going to put it on an island with rides and everything. Everything's going to be fine. I think they're going to make a movie out of it. But that's making the point that maybe it's not even like real. You know, it's just some sort of simulation.
Not exactly a clone.
No, but still.
Yeah. I wonder why they're doing this.
To get to the mammoth. I think that's all it is. It's just, I think it's literally, we imagine it's just to stand next to a mammoth and go, look, we did that.
Did it.
Yeah.
It cost us $3 billion, but
yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think I heard a podcast with the guys from this company and I wasn't entirely aligned with his ethical stance. But he was making the point that there's so many spin-off things that come out of their technology. So it's the things that they're discovering have
things
application.
That can help us.
Yeah, basically things that can make sure that we ourselves don't become extinct, you know, because of viruses and things like that.
Could you imagine this show with just two of us?
Not good. So I don't know whether that's nice or not, but that's the one that I decided to end with.
Nice and fluffy, aren't they?
They were. That was the thing that I thought was nice. They were pure white, very cute. Yeah. They would only take one or two fingers. it wouldn't be the end of the world. You've still got the
superb
remainder. And on that bombshell, that's it. We'll just, fingers missing. We'll say we're going to wrap it up. That was the nice show. Very little WordPress in there, dear listener. I'm sorry about that, but I'm blaming it all on Mark.
Well, it's fairly front-loaded with some WordPress stuff.
Yeah, there was a little bit of WordPress in there, wasn't there? Yeah.
But it has a larger audience, this one. I mean, this is like a mega show.
Huge. Millions. I think this show is going to rival Joe Rogan's in its time.
You know it.
And on that other bombshell, let's knock it on the head and say, Mark Westgaard from WS Form, thanks for chatting to me. That was what shall I say? That was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Thank you, Nathan. Thanks for talking to me.
Okay, that's all we've got time for today. I hope that you enjoyed that. If you did, head over to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 417, and leave us a comment there. We would really appreciate it. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more. go.me/WPBuilds. This week, we're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. Keeping the lights on over at WP Builds for another week is Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, just a couple of quick mentions before we finally head off. The first one is, remember, pagebuildersummit.com and wpbuilds.com/advertise if you would like to get your product or service in front of our WordPress-specific audience. The only thing I've got to do now is say adieu. Thank you very much, Mark Westgaard, for making me feel entirely happy during the course of that recording. And I will see you next week. Stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.